We thank you, Lord, for the religious freedom that has been given to us, that we can come. We can worship you, God. We can shout hallelujah to your presence, Father. We can open your word. We can read loud without any fear. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that has been given to us. Father, as a church, as we look at your word, we pray that you will speak to us, O God. Help us to see you. Help us to see your love, your mercy, your compassion. And also, Lord, help us to see our Christian responsibility. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember when I, you know, when I was a young guy, you know, I liked to read books, novels, and many a times we like the novels to end well, right? We wanted to say, you know, they lived ever after, you know, and they were wonderful, and we always want some kind of happy ending to every story. Am I right? Do you like? When you go to a movie, you know, can you imagine you come back just crying, right? And you are saying, you know, this shouldn't have happened, right? You know, they should have actually concluded in such a way that, you know, my money's worth being spent at the movie theater. I can go back happy. You know, we like stories to end well, right? We because that's human nature. We want stories to end well. And when I was looking at the book of Jonah, you know, many times I was just looking at it and saying, you know, if it just ended with chapter 3, it would be a wonderful chapter. Right, because it comes with a picture where, you know, Jonah goes to the city of Nineveh, he preaches, and people's hearts are transformed. They come knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and, you know, God is so pleased, so wonderful. You know, a great revival has happened. You know, thousands of people, 120,000 people are converted. God is doing exciting thing. Even the king's heart has been converted. Can you imagine what a wonderful passage would be, or a wonderful story would be? But unfortunately, you know, the book of Jonah doesn't end like that, right? If you look at chapter 4, it's a chapter that speaks about anger, right? It talks about anger. He talks about, you know, the dark side of Jonah, the dark side of Jonah's life, what's happening to him. And very interestingly, you know, when I look at this chapter 4, I see that, you know, God is asking questions. As I told you last week, you know, when God asks questions, I think there is some reasons. He wants to know what's happening in our hearts, right? He wants to know our priorities. It's not that he's searching for something that has been lost. I think when God is asking a question, he wants to know what is happening in your heart. What are your priorities? At the same time, you know, he's also asking so that he can challenge us. Whom shall I send? Right? It's not that God cannot send someone. Whom shall I send? It's actually a challenging question, a challenging call. And I think that's what God is asking. In this particular passage, or in chapter 4, I realize, you know, God is asking three questions. Very interesting questions, you know, God is asking. You know, I'm trying to rephrase the questions and the context that's been asked. In the first question, when God is asking, verse 4, it says, is it right for you to be angry? God is asking Jonah. Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Right? And if you realize, Jonah does not give any answer to God. Can you imagine? This great God is asking him a question. Is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? But Jonah, like a small kid, you know, he's not answering God. He just walks away. Right, he walks away, he goes out of the city, and what happens? I think he goes out of the city, he goes to the east side, and he builds a shelter, a booth, sukkah in Hebrew word. He doesn't respond to God, but I think his actions is an answer. The way he reacts to God's question, he's saying, Lord, this is how I feel. Not my words, not verbally, my action reveals my answer. And which we'll drill later on. And then in verse 9, it says, then God is asking him this, almost the same, but something slightly different. It says, is it right for you to be angry about the plant, Jonah. And then you realize that he verbally responds, right? He says, yes, I'm angry. I'm upset, you know. I want to die. And in verse 11, you look at the question, you know, God says, shall I not be concerned for the great city of Nineveh? That's another question. If you realize, Jonah does not answer at all. In the Hebrew text, it's a very open-ended question. And I believe, you know, it's a question, I think, it's not Jonah to answer, but it's all of us to answer. It's an open-ended question, not only to Jonah, right? Should I not be concerned about this great city of Nineveh? Should I not be concerned about the lost souls? People have not known me, who do not know what is left and what is right. Jonah doesn't answer, right? But I think God is also asking the same question to us. Should I not be concerned about all these things? Three things I thought, you know, we will share today. The first question, when I look at the first question, you know, just to give you the background, I think Jonah is asking God, you know, God is asking Jonah, you know, why are you angry? You know, and I was asking myself, is, you know, when I look at the question, I want to rephrase it, you know, basing on the context. I think God is asking him this question, right? Is there room in your life for others, Jonah? Why? If you look at the passage very carefully, you know, it says, you know, Jonah was very angry in verse 4. He was very angry, right? He said, this is wrong. He felt what God did is something evil. He felt angry. And then, you know, and he talks to God. He says, Lord, I know you're a gracious God. You're a compassionate God. You're slow to anger, abounding in love, right? And then, you know, take away my life, right? So can you imagine God has done something wonderful? A great revival has happened. But this man, instead of rejoicing, instead of saying, hallelujah, praise God. You know, God has been so wonderful. People's lives have been transformed. Instead of saying this, what happens? He's very upset and he says, Lord, what you did, you know, I can't accept what you did. I'm angry. I'm upset with you. I'm really frustrated with what you have done. And so what happens? I think, in other words, I think when God is asking him, I think God is asking, you know, you're not happy, right? You're not happy, you know, when something good is happening, right? Is there room for you in the life, in your life, for others? Because when you look at the passage very carefully, what's happening? I was looking at the passage very carefully, you know. It says that Jonah made a shelter. He went out of the city, right, in verse 4 and 5, right? He has gone out and sat down in a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter. You know, the word shelter, it's in the Hebrew word means sukkah. Sukkah means booths. In those days, I think if you look at Leviticus and also Deuteronomy, which I'll also give you a passage, they make booths, right? The booths of tabernacle, right? And so what is happening? He goes out of the city. He sits, right, at the east side. And then he's also angry with God, right? He's very upset with God. But if you look at the word very carefully, you know, in Deuteronomy, what is happening in Deuteronomy, you know, the same word is also being used here. Jonah knew it was a festive season in his Jewish calendar. And so what he did, he goes out of the city, right? He makes a sukkah, a booth. And he sits by the east side, angry, upset with what's happening. But according to Deuteronomy, you know, and also Leviticus, you know, the Feast of the Booths should be celebrated differently. It says they were dwelling in booths, right? At the same time, it should be within that city. So when I was, and then if it says in the earlier part, Jonah is sitting out of the city. In other words, Jonah is saying, I don't want you to be here, right? Because if you look at Deuteronomy very carefully, you know, it should be in the city, and it's a place where you welcome family, sons, Levites, strangers. If you look at the passage very carefully in verse 14, he talks about it. He goes out of the city because he's saying, I got no room for you, right? I don't want you to come near me. But actually, according to Deuteronomy, that particular feast should be celebrated differently. Should be within the city, and it's a tent where, you know, only three sides tent, and one of the door is open. In other words, strangers are allowed, your families are allowed, your friends are allowed, people in the city are allowed to come and to rejoice with you because of the produce or the crop that God has given to you. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of happiness. It's a time to just praise God for his faithfulness, whereas Jonah is sitting out of the city. In other words, he's saying, I don't want anyone in my tent. I am not going to rejoice. I want to be angry because what God has done. In other words, when God is asking him a question, God is saying, is there room for you, Jonah, in your life or others? Right? And he says, no, there's no room. And that's why I'm going out of the city, so that people cannot come. Right? I don't want to welcome people into my life, into my tent. And can you imagine? That was Jonah. I think the first question is not about just anger alone, but why Jonah was angry, because God was gracious. God was compassionate. God was loving. And that's why Jonah was angry at the sight of God. And I was reading a book by Francis Chan. I think all of us know. Great book. And he writes, what's happening? He says, he's talking about Christians in his book, right? Crazy Love. He talks about a lukewarm people. Their love for others is typically focused on those who love them in return, right? We love because we get something in return, right? They love us back. Their love is highly conditional and very selective, and generally comes with strings attached. In other words, can you imagine Jonah is very angry? In other words, he's saying, Lord, I got no place for people in my life. Right? I'm not going to allow anyone in my tent. It's going to be outside the city. In other words, Lord, I will just come, I will do my work, but I don't want to have a relationship that you want us to have. And sometimes as Christians, sometimes we become like this, right? We become, I love you, I care for you because, you cared for me, you loved me, and you showed compassion to me. And so what happens, we return. And that is capitalism kind of a attitude, right, that happens. I was reading a book, and the author says it beautifully. He says, the church, the world, is not looking for a friendly church, but the world is looking for friends in the church. The world is not looking for a friendly church because there are many friendly churches around, my friend. If you walk into any church, they will welcome you. They will say, come. It's not friendly church. The world is looking, but the world is looking for friends in the church who will go beyond shaking of hands, who will go beyond hi, who will go beyond hello, how are you today? They will go beyond that. Who will welcome them into their sukkah, into their life, and say, I want to care for you. I want to be with you. That's what the world is searching for. It's not a friendly world. Church, the world is searching for. In church, the world is searching for friends in the church, my friend, who can reach out and say, come. I want to be part of your journey. I want to rejoice on the things God is doing in your life. I want to help you in your journey so that I can see you progress in your Christian life. I can see you that God's blessings is coming upon you. You realize sometimes we become very selective, right? We have only our circle, right? We help because someone helped us in return. Is there room in your life for others, my friend? Is it outside the city, or is it within the city? Jonah was angry because he didn't rejoice by looking at the good things that God was doing. Right? He was just upset. Secondly, the second question is, when I look at the second question, you know, very interesting, you know, if you realize verses onwards, verses 6 and 7, you know, God is asking him a question, right? About the plan. So what's happening? So Jonah goes out of the city and God provides a leafy plant that gives him comfort. You know, I was very impressed. It's the first time you ever see Jonah was very overjoyed in verse 6. Then God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up, right? It gave shade. And Jonah was very happy about what? Not about God. He was just happy about the plant, right? Because God gave him a plant, right? That brought shelter to him. He was so excited. He was happy. He was not happy about any other thing, right? He was happy when things were good, when life was comfortable, when there were blessings in his life, when he saw God's goodness, you know, in his life. He was happy on God's gifts, my friend, not on God. He was happy about the plan. It's not about the person who gave him the plan, right? If you realize, Jonah was always unhappy. He was very unhappy. What happened when God provided a worm? Right? He was very unhappy when there was a strong east wind. He was very unhappy with the sun. And he said, it's better for me to die. Right? He is unhappy when things were against him. Can you imagine? He was happy with the blessings, but whenever things were against him, he was not happy, right? When I look at this passage very carefully, I realize it is God who brings blessings into our life. It is God who brings worms into our life. It is God who brings the sun into our life. It is God who brings the strong winds on our life, my friend. It's the same God who does that. But Jonah is happy when God does good things. When God brings a trial or even a test in Jonah's life, he's unhappy. When God gives a worm, he's unhappy about it. But it is the same God who gives him. He doesn't realize, he doesn't recognize, you know, that God was trying to teach him something. I always realize, you know, when you have blessings in your life, be careful, because the next one is going to be a test in your life. Because every time that God is blessing you, there is a test that is going to come. Job is a great example, right? He was blessed tremendously and he faced the worst test. Abraham was the richest man in those days and he faced the greatest test. So if God has blessed you, wonderful. Let me tell you, the same God will bring testing or even trials in your life, my friend. He's the same God who provided the worm. Jonah was happy with the good things in life. He was not happy with the things that was just happening because God wanted to shape him and to see, you know, who is this man? His faithfulness, his obedience to me, his submission to me. And so today we need to ask ourselves, are we happy in God, whatever he does, right? When I'm faithful to God, not only I have blessings, even if I have trials, I have challenges, if I have testing, and I'm still happy because I know God brought all this with a purpose in mind. So today we need to ask ourselves, are we happy with God? Are we happy with just God's gifts alone? I think that was what God was asking him. And I believe God is also asking us as a church, right? Are we just happy with the gifts, the blessings that God has given us? Are we happy with God, right? No matter whatever happens. I'm faithful. When I look at this passage very carefully, I also realize, you know, looking at Jonah's life, I think he thought, you know, trials last forever. I think that's comforting, right? Dear friends, if you're going through a rough time in your life, if you're faithful, and you say, Pastor, I'm faithful in my obedience to God, I love God, and I'm going through a tough time in my life, let me tell you, trials will not last forever. But Jonah thought it's going to last forever. That's why he was unhappy throughout, right? And lastly, you know, Jonah also thought, right, he's the most important person, right? He's the most important. So everything has to work according to his blessings. Everything has to work according to what he desires in life. Right? That was the misguided thoughts about Jonah. Lastly, let me finish with this. The last question I think God is asking him, right? I think sometimes self becomes an idol, right? Sometimes I remember in my pastoral ministry, you know, sometimes, you know, what happens, like, you know, maybe I'm just saying, right? You know, when a pastor, what happens? I think you're able to teach. After some time, you're able to preach. So God gives you certain gifts. And so what happens, instead of just looking at God and saying, Lord, you're the giver, continue to give me wisdom from above, what happens? You just lean on to the gift that God has given you. God gives you the gift, then you just lean on, because you're good in teaching, you're good in preaching, right? You're good in expounding God's word. What happens? And God has blessed you. Many a times the temptation is, yes, that becomes my idol, but I forget the one who has given me, because he's the one who gives us the strength. So even self can become an idol. Blessings that God has given to us can become an idol, my friend. If God has blessed you with a good career, praise the Lord. Just be faithful to God. Let me tell you, the temptation, your career can become an idol. Your blessing can become an idol. But God should be our God. Not blessings, not the gifts. Lastly, let me finish with this. The last question I think God is asking Jonah, right? The question is, you know, God is saying, you know, Jonah, are you not concerned? Should I not be concerned for the great city of Nineveh? Should I not be concerned? In other words, I think the way, and Jonah doesn't answer, I don't know what happens. According to Jewish scholarship, that's a tradition that is just floating around. According to the Jewish tradition, Jonah repented, knelt down, he cried, and he repented again. That's tradition, right? We do not know whether it's true or not. But according to scriptures, it's totally different. So God is actually asking, are you concerned about the things, right, that I'm concerned about or passionate about? Because God is concerned about the great city of Nineveh. God was concerned about what's happening in the lives of the people there. God was even concerned about the cattle, the animals. The scriptures tells us very clearly. But Jonah was concerned about his life, about blessings, about him, right, about self, about the things that concerns him, nothing that concerns about God. So I think God is asking, you know, and I think today we need to ask ourselves, are we concerned about the things that God is passionate about, my friend, today? What is God passionate about, right? If you read verse 10 and 11, you realize, I think, God is concerned about mercy, right? In verse 10, he says, now you've been concerned about this plant, right? And should I not have concern? It's the same Hebrew word here. You're so happy, pity. You pity the plant. Now I should have mercy. I should have pity on the people. God is concerned about forgiveness. God is concerned about redeeming us, right? God is concerned about saving us, because the more I look at verse 10 and 11, I see the character of God, right? God could have easily judged the people, but he is a saving God. He wants to save each and every person. If you read Psalm 103, verse 8, you will see the particular word. And lastly, you know, it also says that God is concerned about his creations, right? It says 120,000 people. Right? I sometimes wonder why the author have to be very specific about numbers here. Right? He could have easily said 120, the great city was saved, the great city of Nineveh was saved, transformed, right? People came to the Lord. It could have been easy like that, but why? You know, when I look at certain time when God uses numbers, right? It talks about him, right? He's a very personal God who knows each and every person. I think that is the intent here. It's not that God is concerned about statistics. It's not about 90% or 95%, but it's about numbers. In other words, God is concerned about each and every person, and they are special in their sight, and He's a personal God who wants to know you personally, and He knows you personally, my friend. Jonah, are you concerned about the things that I'm concerned about? I'm concerned about the salvation of each people. I'm concerned about each and every soul. Are you concerned about that? Are you concerned about souls today? Right? Each and every soul is important. Let me challenge people who are in the VBS, right? I think God is concerned about every child that walks into the VBS. Right? And I think the same Lord is asking, are you concerned about the way I'm concerned about that? That each and every child is special in my sight. And I know them. I know them by name. Right? And I'm concerned about their salvation. Dear friends, are we concerned about the things that concern? Are we passionate about the things that God is passionate about? Am I jealous about the things, zealous about the things that God is passionate about? Do I have God's heartbeat? Jonah did not have. The good news is, you know, when I look at the passage very carefully, you know, Jonah's last words were not good news. But the good news was, you know, God's words were full of mercy and compassion. And God wanted Jonah to have his heart. That's the good news. Right? The good news is God is still merciful. God is still compassionate. And He wants us to have that heart, my friend. Is there room for others in your life? The world is not looking for a friendly church. The world is looking for friends who can go beyond the hello, the hi, the welcome here. Are you willing to bring them into your sukkah and say, you know, I'm there for you. I want to help you all. I want to rejoice with you. Are we passionate? Are you concerned about God or just the gifts that God has given to us? Let me finish with this story. It's a story about, you know, a father and a son. A father and a son, you know, they went to a small town because the father wanted to see his uncle. And so he has not seen his uncle at all, but he heard that his uncle is living in this small town. And so what happens, he brings his boy and says, you know, let's go to this small town. I want to see my lost uncle, you know. I want to see him. So the son says, you know, Dad, you have not seen him before. You don't have any clue in terms of pictures. He says, no, nothing, but no, I want to see him. So both of them, they travel to this small town. They go to the city square. They're looking around. Can you imagine? And suddenly the father says, there goes my uncle. There goes my uncle. This boy was wondering what's happening to my dad, right? He has not seen a picture at all. And he says, and he's very sure, and he says, there goes my uncle. So the boy is, you know, out of curiosity, he says, Dad, you have not seen your uncle at all in your life. How do you know that this is your uncle? And the dad said, son, I know. Because he walks exactly like my father. He walks exactly like my father, and I know he's my uncle. Are we walking exactly like God? God was willing to take us inside the sukkah, my friend, into His life. Is there a place for others in your sukkah? God is passionate. Do we have the heartbeat of God? Let's pray. I just want you to take a moment to reflect on the questions. I believe it's a question not for Jonah alone, but it's all of us today. just want you to take a moment to reflect and answer this question. Is there room in your life for others? Is there room in your life for others? Or is it just me alone? Is there room for others to come into my life that I can help them? I want to be their prayer partner. I want to pray with them. I want to encourage them. I want to welcome them into my sukkah. Makes you happy today? And I believe God is asking me even the same question, and all of us. Are you happy in God or happy in God's gifts, my friend? Are you just happy with Him, whatever it is? It can be a blessing, it can be a testing, it can be a trial in my life, but I know that He loves me. I know that this God cares for me, and my love for Him will never change. I'll be able to say that. God say, there goes my son because he walks like me. There goes my daughter because she walks like me. My child is passionate about the things that concerns me or the things that I'm passionate about. My child has my heartbeat. God was concerned about salvation of each and every soul. God was concerned about each and every person. What are you passionate about today? Father, we pray, God, that throughout this week you will disturb us, O God. Your spirit will disturb us with these questions, Father. We pray, God, that we will sit down, take time, O God, to reflect on our lives and to give ourselves to you. Lord, if tradition is true, we want to be like Jonah, who repented and gave himself totally to God. We thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.